So me have you work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to WitWorks Radio. This is Lauren Creamer, your sometime host. I am here joined by three of my fabulous students. And they are going to be talking to you today about their experiences doing research co-ops. I will let each of them introduce themselves. They'll share their name, major, year, and where they have completed their research co-ops. But actually, first, before you delve into your long answers, if we could just like go around the table and say who's here.
Hi, I'm Kelsey, and I'm a senior in biomedical engineering.
I'm Lindsay, I'm a senior in biomedical engineering.
Hi, I'm Angie, and I'm a junior in biomedical engineering.
My name's Abby Pober. I'm the assistant director in co-ops and careers, and I'm here running the boards, and I'll be jumping in occasionally.
Super. Okay, so now that we know who is in front of us, I would just love for each of you, I can't see Lindsay's face, so this is going to be so awkward, to just say a little bit more about yourselves and where you did your research co-ops.
So I did my first co-op over at the Wyss Institute at Harvard, and I did my sophomore optional co-op and two mandatory co-ops at the Koch at MIT.
I did both of my co-op terms as a research assistant at Boston Children's Hospital within the Padari lab.
I was a research intern at a genetics research lab, Dr. Pankaj Agarwal's at Boston Children's.
Cool. Okay. So we have some seasoned researchers and some new researchers on our hand and everything in between, which I love. So I'm curious to start off, when did you each realize that research was the right choice for your co-op experience?
So freshman year, I took Dr. Rogers' genes to genomics class, and we did a lot of independent work with a semester-long project, and that really kickstarted my interest in research.
I've always loved having lab classes and being in the lab and doing experiments and doing everything like that. So I originally had wanted to pursue more of a research-based co-op, and I did.
I knew I always wanted to do work that wasn't necessarily tied down to a computer and was much more hands-on, but I also took Dr. Rogers' class, and I just found it so fascinating, and I could pick whatever I wanted to research on and really go into depth with it. So I fell in love with that.
Sounds like a lot of you took Fly Doc Rogers genetics class. You did too, Lindsay, right?
No,
you didn't?
I really wish I did.
Okay. So how did each of you find your co-ops? And I think all of you have had pretty different paths in terms of the search process.
Yeah, so for my first co-op at the Wyss, it was actually after my advisor, Joe, saw my final presentation for my genetics project, and he connected me with a graduate student there. And for my second co-op, I actually met them at a networking event and passed my resume along after connecting with them on LinkedIn, which was kind of interesting.
Okay. So wait, so what kind of networking event was this?
It was like a networking hour followed by a speaker that just did work in microfluidics. And then I was the scared undergraduate in the corner, and he kind of came up and introduced me to a bunch of people at the event. And then we connected on LinkedIn and talked about a position later on.
So you were there as a sophomore?
Yes.
Okay. And did you just go to that event of your own volition, or did someone recommend you go?
Joe also recommended the event, which worked out for the best for me and really opened me up to the world of research and networking events.
Okay, cool. And would you recommend those types of events to other undergrad students?
Yes, for sure. And I think the most important thing when you're there is just going up and introducing yourself to people, because as interesting as the talks are, meeting everyone is really the best thing that you can get out of these events.
Yeah, it's basically why you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
I actually got my research co-op from Joe. I was halfway through my junior semester before co-op, and I couldn't find anywhere. And I actually emailed him. I was a few weeks late. I wanted to do a semester-long project because I had a really open schedule. He said I was too late to do a project, but he sent me an email he had got from a postdoc who's in my lab. Who was basically wanted someone to start part-time that semester to go into a co-op full-time. So I emailed him, had an interview. He loved me, and I joined the lab.
Okay, cool. Angie?
So I knew I wanted to work at a hospital because I knew that I wanted to do specifically translational genetics, which meant that I wanted to work with patient samples directly on disease models. So that kind of limited me a little bit to hospital only. So I went to Children's, and I started emailing. I went alphabetical, and I emailed everybody. I looked into the labs. I picked only genetics ones because I knew I loved genetics, and I had some past experience with it. I emailed like 40 to 50 labs, and I got two responses. And the big thing I'll say is that I interviewed both of them. They interviewed me, but I also interviewed them. One of them seemed excited to have anybody in his lab, and then the second one seemed excited to have me in his lab. And I went with that second one that wanted to work with me personally and seemed excited to know who I was. And I think that helped me so, so much because I've loved that co-op and I'm going back for my senior co-op.
That's awesome. Yeah. In crafting all of this direct email outreach, what is something you feel like you learned from that experience?
So one is to go to your co-op advisor and talk to them about what you want because they're very helpful. But the other is to be very direct with where you're at. Don't pretend like you know more than you do, but also explain very approachably how excited you are for their research. Do a little research into the lab, know what they do, and then be okay with saying, I don't know how to do blank, but I'm willing to learn, because they expected me not to know how to do any of what I learned mm-hmm. to do, but they want enthusiasm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Kelsey and Lindsay, you sort of had made these personal connections before you got hooked up with Joe, for lack of better phrasing. Did you do any direct outreach by yourselves, or was this just sort of like happenstance and like good fortune that you were prepared and seeking and Joe knew somebody?
Yeah, so for my first co-op at the V's, I wasn't expecting to do anything summer freshman year. So when I had heard from Joe, I was sitting on the couch with my mom getting ready to leave for the beach. So that was a nice surprise that kind of fell in my lap. But for my second co-op, I actually applied to a bunch of more structured programs through different colleges. And those didn't end up working out. And then I had a decision between a genetics lab at Tufts, the opportunity through Joe, and something at MGH. And I just chose the project that I was most interested in and skills that I thought that would be the most interesting for me.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Same question for you, Lindsay. Before you sort of made this connection with Joe, did you do any outreach, or did you think about doing any outreach? Did you prepare for that?
Oh, the 75 companies I applied to and heard back from.
But so was that for-profit companies, or was that research labs? Like, what did that look like for you?
Yeah, it was definitely a mixture, because I was more looking for basically anything that would take me. I had sent a ton of emails to a bunch of different types of companies, and some were like, yeah, we're not hiring. Others were, we don't have enough people to teach you anything. And a lot of them were actually women who responded, and they were like, great job for being a woman in STEM, but we can't hire you. But you're doing great. I was like, thanks. And then, found my lab, and I stayed there for 2 years, or two co-ops, because I had heavily thought I was going to actually do MD-PhD, and I know that they like to see consistency and that ability to fail and get back up within a lab. So that's why I stayed for two co-ops. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep picking on the two of you for a second. Sorry, Angie. What do you think it was that... So let me back up. Usually staff and faculty don't recommend people unless they know they're a good fit or that they can rely on them to represent the institute or themselves as recommenders. What do you think it was about your academics or your interactions with Joe that made him go out on a limb for you?
So I know that I, especially freshman and sophomore year, was quite the pain in Joe's butt. I used to, whenever I would schedule a meeting with him, I would show up with an agenda and say, okay, Joe, here are all the questions that we're addressing because I am a worried student. And he was always great about answering those. So I think just seeing the passion that I had about my education on top of the drive that I had for research in my genetics project freshman year really kickstarted that belief that he had in me, which I think without having staff like Dr. Rogers and Joe really pushing me to believe that I could do it, I wouldn't have actually gone after anything in research and would have followed more of like the industry standard for biomed here.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing from you is, aside from the fabulous support you got from your faculty members, is being prepared, similar to prepared and curious and not taking essentially no or indifference for an answer, sort of pushing forward and saying like, okay, these are my goals, this is what I want to do, how can you help me or what can I do to meet those goals?
Yeah, the co-op that I got at MIT actually told me no initially after my interview because they had never hired an undergrad outside of MIT before. And so I responded back with, I just love the research you're doing. Like, can I come once a week to just get experience or can I come and volunteer? And they ended up looking for funding in other places and figuring out how to go the temp route to get me in. And so I think that just showing the drive and the passion was what really goes a long way in research.
Yeah, if there's one piece of advice that I consistently am giving to students, it's show your genuine interest in the work that's being done, because like Angie said, you can be trained on any number of things, right? You're already in school, you have technical skills, anybody who can read a resume knows that you're trainable, but do you care about the research? Because if you don't, you don't have staying power, and they need people who are going to be there and who are going to be committed to the research. Lindsay, what did you do? What do you think that you did that made Joe say, I'm going to connect you?
I would say just reaching out, because I don't think a lot of students would do that or would think about that, and just saying, hey, I got this time to do stuff, like, can I do something that's school related or that's actually going to help me with my future, instead of just hanging around doing nothing and just wasting my time, because I think that some students either don't reach out or they do, and I think that if they do, then they'll definitely will have some sort of belief in you.
Yeah. I like to say that closed mouths don't get fed. And if you want some sort of extra opportunity, nobody here can read minds, if you will. Yeah. So you have to say that you want it. That's exactly. Great. All right. So how was co-ops and careers, aka my office, supportive to you in your endeavors? And I wrote this in my email to these folks before, that if we weren't, that's totally fine and they're allowed to say it, so I'm prefacing that with that. But if we were, you know, what did we do that was helpful? If we weren't, who were your allies? Who was supporting you through this process?
Yeah, so I think that because I took kind of a backroads way into all of my co-ops, I never thought to go to the co-op and careers office, just because, as I've said 100 times in this interview, I really relied on Joe and Dr. Rogers, and I think just because I knew that their background was in research, that they could help me with a lot of the questions I had about what it was like to be in a research environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely resumes and knowing how to write something.
Yes.
Knowing how to write a professional email, knowing like what kind of questions to ask, how to present yourself in that more of a co-op way, I guess you could say. And knowing how to emphasize the little things that we actually know how to do that not a lot of other job applicants would know how to do. Because I know that when I was during my interview, I got asked, like, do you know how to read a protocol? And I was like, yeah. Of course I know how to read a protocol. It's crazy. So just little things like that we all actually know how to do here, especially in biomed, having taken so many labs and having to do so many pre-labs and just following directions. Definitely would be something to put on there that you probably would never think to put on there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're my co-op advisor, and
I am
you about everything. So I had you read over, obviously, my resume, but also the first few drafts I did for direct outreach emails, and then I got the hang of it, but those first few, just how do I do this? And, like, how do I sound professional, but also a little pushy? just a little. And I think that was really, really helpful, but also just, it sounds, like, silly but not silly, the emotional support of fighting that imposter syndrome, telling you that you can do it, telling, like, having somebody that's 100% behind you in whatever you're attempting to do is incredibly valuable. I also went to Dr. Rogers and asked her questions about what to emphasize, because those are very technical skills, and I had taken her class and she had had me in lab, but as far as okay, now I know what to emphasize, how do I emphasize that? That was very much through your office, and I still go to you with stuff all the time, just how do I write this? How do I reach out to this school? So I think they've been very, very helpful.
Awesome. So it sounds like a baseline, anything that you need to write out, always good to come to Co-ops and Careers for, but anything that's a resume or a cover letter or an email, happy to help with that. But I'm also hearing that you need to find yourself like a champion at the Institute, somebody who, whether or not they come from my office, says like, oh yeah, you can totally do that, and helps you fight that imposter syndrome is helpful.
I personally feel that's been one of my biggest lessons and challenges is, I think partly as a female in STEM, but also just partly as a person, I struggle a lot with, am I actually able to be in this, to be in this office, to be in this lab, to be a valuable team member to this Institute? And I think that that's something that's been really helpful, just from professors, from faculty, from professionals here, just talking to them through that feeling, because everyone has that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you two want to riff off that, or?
I mean, I think as someone who didn't come into the office as much just because I had an established support system, I think it goes to show the supportive community at Wentworth. Like, I had a completely different experience with different people than Angie had with you in the co-op's office, but we both got the same result of support and kind of like that champion that you say. So I think that it's really awesome regardless that you find that support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta have somebody who's in your corner. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yes. Definitely. Okay, so going off that, are there anything that was particularly challenging in your search for research co-ops outside of what we've already hit on? Anything that you feel like was like a major roadblock that you wish you had known how to navigate beforehand? Anything like that?
I think for me, the most difficult thing was salary. When I started searching for a co-op after my first one, I was lucky enough to be paid at. And so I already wanted something, again, that would be paid. And a lot of the research opportunities I was finding were unpaid. And I think in that environment, they say that the experience is more worth it, or the experience is the pay, which in some part is true. Not everything revolves around getting an extra dollar, but I think that it's important that, like, the salary is valuable. You shouldn't devalue yourself because we're coming into these opportunities with some skills from Wentworth.
Yeah, you should be paid for the work that you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you are, I'm so dated, I haven't actually been in a wet lab in like a literal decade or more. But like, even if you're just running like PCR, did I say that right? Did I do that right? Yeah. You're still doing work for that lab, right? You should be compensated for that work that you're doing. And if they truly have no money and you're at like a hospital that's got nothing, or they ran out of their grant funding, how else are they compensating you? Yeah. Are they sending you on professional development trips? Are they allowing you networking opportunities with the Institute? They've got to be doing it somehow. Your presence is valuable to them. So what are they doing for you?
So I actually did not get paid my first co-op.
Mm.
So I know what that's like. It's horrible. but then I got offered to stay, and now I'm being paid. So that's nice. But, yeah, the first round was definitely, I would have to say, very eye-opening. Just going from that transition of classes to actually being working in a lab doing stuff. And I was also working with another co-op student from Northeastern. So we got really close because it was really just us two. And our postdoc mentor was giving us a lot of individual things to do, so it wasn't really we weren't being hawk-eyed the whole time, so that was really nice. And we just eventually started going just day-to-day, doing what we were doing. Really didn't need a lot of guidance towards the end. We also had the opportunity to shadow a bunch of people on the clinic side, because we are also a translational science lab. And so that was also crazy to do. I think it was really fun. And it's also really helpful just to see that other side of clinic. And we got to sit through grand surgery rounds where it's really early in the morning because it starts at 7 a.m. but you're sitting there in a room full of neurosurgeons just talking about how to fix a patient and all of the things that they're doing. And it just is really crazy to just even be there to begin with. And I noticed that you find a lot about healthcare and you learn a lot about how doctors are really just trying to do what they're doing, and they don't always know the right answer, but they're just chugging along.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm going to come back to that later. I'm going to put a pin in that bit about healthcare.
I also didn't get paid, but I think that they were, so I have a chronic illness, so they were really accommodating for me with that. Like, there were days I had to leave early, I could only work 4 days a week, so they were really, really good about that. And they were also, when I told them, I was like kind of nervous in the interview. I was like, okay, well, this is going really well, but you should know I have this. And he was like, yeah, we're a hospital. That's fine. And I was like, oh, okay, so I don't have to be nervous about this. And that was really good first experience to telling somebody in the workforce that I was sick. The other thing is they have a speaker come in every Monday and Friday, and he found out once that I skipped it to do work, and he was so mad, and he was like, no, this is for you, go. Like, he was like, the work can get done, you need to go get taught. So we go and we get to hear some of the best minds, and he's a newborn medicine doctor, so we get to hear some of the best minds at newborn medicine at Boston Children's talk about the work they're doing. It's amazing. And I've been able to network a lot through that, because I go up at the end and I say, hi, I'm blank and I'm doing this and blah, blah, blah. And I think that that's been really, really valuable. So for me, because there were special workarounds, I think it was more valuable to get a job that was accommodating to my needs, even if it didn't necessarily mean getting paid. So it's gonna change depending on every student.
Yeah. what did you, so this, I don't know if I'm wording this in a way that makes any sense, but you'll get it. I'm picking up on that at different points in time, you were all exposed to things you didn't necessarily think you were gonna get exposure to, or kind of maybe hoped that you would, but didn't know. Is there something that you asked for at any point while you were on co-op that you were surprised and excited to get exposure to? Maybe that was like above and beyond what you thought you would be doing.
Yeah, so after being in the lab for about 6 months, I had expressed that I wanted to adopt my own project. I wanted to work more with other collaborators and kind of branch off from our team. And surprisingly, everyone was very open to it, so I started collaborating with people in other labs. I was getting sent to help on projects, and it really validated that I was a good scientist, because they were sending me to represent the lab in helping someone who couldn't do that skill that I had. So I think that that was something a little surprising for me that felt really nice.
That's really cool that they trusted you to just go off and
do
that. Yeah.
I got offered to do that. I really got a choice of three things. I could either do my own project with, for me it would be a certain gene on epilepsy. I could write a review paper, or I could think of something else that I wanted to do. So I actually ended up starting my senior design project early with them.
Okay.
So that was my little spin-off of what does the fish room need, because I work with fish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can I help them that's more engineering, because my lab is not engineering whatsoever.
That's cool. So you got to tie your work back in more closely to what you're actually studying while you're here.
Yes.
Okay.
So I was really excited. I got my own cell cultures. So I had watched cell culturing for like a good 2 months into my 4 month co-op. And I really, really wanted to learn that skill because I really like it. I like the fact that you're like nurturing something and you're bringing it up. So I asked for my own cell line, and they actually went and got like a cell line out of storage, and they let me unfreeze it and plate it and do all that and basically raise them up, and then we got to CRISPR them. So we got to use my cells for like a big experiment in the lab, and that was just really cool and a really rewarding experience, and honestly a huge reason I'm deciding to go back, because I felt like I asked for one thing and they like went above and beyond to give it to me. So it was very cool.
That's awesome. That's really, for a second I thought you meant like your own cells, not like your own cell line.
It's a rule that you're not allowed to do that.
Really?
They don't want you to experiment on yourself.
Oh.
You're not allowed to ever touch your own.
Because wait, but like you could have your own cells in the lab, but you can't work on them.
Yeah, I could have worked with like my PI cells.
Interesting.
Because he almost was going to donate blood to give me cells to work with. But you, I, because I was like, I'll donate my own. I just want cells. Like, let me play. And he was like, no, you, like, that's a hospital rule. Because we're geneticists and you can't trust us. So.
That's fascinating. Okay. Those are all really awesome opportunities. Switching gears a bit. What are your postgraduate plans? I know some of you are closer to the end than others, but what are your plans and how is your research experience supporting those plans?
So a few days ago, I submitted my first round of medical school applications, which is super
round
exciting.
Of applause.
And I think for me, someone that has been doing research for 3 years now, I was always a little worried going into medical school with so much research experience and having them look and say, you know, why aren't you doing MD, PhD, or why aren't you just doing PhD? And through my experiences, I found how closely knit they are and that these experiences will allow me to be a better physician because I have so much experience as a scientist. And even if I wanted to go down the path of being a physician scientist, I think it sets me up better for knowing how much I already like research versus finding out later down the line.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
By the way.
I'm very excited.
It's a big moment.
I am actively applying at the moment. I learned that I don't want to just do bench work. I want to do more engineering. As much as I do love science, during my second round of co-op, I really missed engineering and thinking outside of the box and working with microcontrollers and wires and things like that, rather than just pipetting on the daily. And yeah, even with just getting your MD, you can still own your own lab. My PI just has her MD too, and she's very, very successful. So if you still wanted to go research, you don't need that MD, PhD. But yeah, I think I might do PhD after at least 1 year of work. It's to be determined.
TBD.
Yep.
That's cool. I like that plan too.
Thank you.
So I think it's interesting that we're all going different places because I left my co-op and went, oh no, I have to do engineering again. So I'm currently trying to look into getting a PhD in genetics because I found out that I love it. I think it's where the future of healthcare is and I want to heal as many people as possible. And I just feel really, really excited about it. So looking into that.
Just exploring that.
Yeah,
now.
I looked
sending
in,
more emails.
You know, just casually looking into that. I actually looked into the MD PhD too, and then someone asked me. I actually talked to somebody at my lab about it, and someone asked me like, "Do you want to do clinical stuff?" And I said, "No, not at all." And they were like, "Why are you looking into the MD part?" I was like, "Because I thought I needed it." So talking to the people that are working in your field is another huge. To find out where you want to go and what you want to do. So
mm-hmm.
Just PhD.
And I think going off of the needing the MD PhD
yeah.
track, for 2 years I thought that MD PhD was everything that I wanted because I knew how much I enjoyed research, but I knew that I wanted the clinical
yeah.
side and I wanted the patient interaction. And getting, not that I'm old, but getting older, I think as a woman and just eight, like, starting to prepare for the next steps of life, you wonder, do I want to commit myself to 10 plus years of school? What if I want to start a family? You don't need a PhD to do exciting and valuable research. And I think since patient interaction was the more important part for me, I figured that I could add on research as much as I wanted afterwards versus forcing myself into 6 years of a PhD and pushing off all of my future plans by an extra 6 years. So I think that that was also a challenge that I had in my development through research.
I think Kelsey just read my mind. 1,000%. 10 years is definitely a long time to put anything off or to even just go back to school for. And just talking to other MD PhDs, whether they were in my lab or not in my lab, and shadowing them and shadowing other MDs and working with regular just PhDs, not just regular, but you know what I mean.
Just like a plain old PhD. Yeah.
They're still incredibly intelligent. You really see every side of it, and how you can still go get your MD PhD and not even use the PhD or not even use the MD part. But even sitting and listening to panels of multiple people who have had either tens of years of experience after their MD PhD or are still in school right now getting it, if you're not as committed to it, you don't want to do it. And you can still do, like Kelsey said, you can do it, any research really with an MD or even with just a bachelor's and working towards anything that you want. It doesn't have to be MD PhD, as I've learned.
I feel like maybe we should have entitled this program MD PhD, why it's not for everyone. Yeah. I guess.
I didn't even know it existed until I started co-op. I had no idea that was a thing. All I thought was just MD and the PhD. And then apparently there's also a JD PhD, JD MD. Oh, yeah.
You can get a JD PhD?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's multiple combinations of things that you won't know until you Google.
Maybe we need to make a graphic, Abby.
I was today years old. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah, let's make a graphic about all this.
Yeah, I love that. Abby also does the marketing PS, so she any of the graphics you see from her office, Abby is generally the creator of those.
Want a graphic,
yes, we can make one. The different paths you can have. Okay, so we've come up with bits of this throughout the show, but any advice that you would give first or second years thinking about a research co-op? It's just like a little idea. They've got that little idea light bulb over their head. What would you say to them?
I think, you know, aside from finding that mentorship in the co-op office and with professors, I think that it's important to talk to some upperclassmen, because I think that I know when I was a freshman, I thought that I had to be the most professional person in the world in front of my professors and in the co-op office. And so I think that talking to an upperclassman, you can really ask the questions that you might think are small or stupid, or just get some general knowledge that the three of us have learned over the past couple years and working and being at Wentworth.
I'd say do it. That's what co-op's for. It's for learn and know what you want. And so if you're thinking about it, just do it. And if you don't get one, you don't get one. Try it the next time. And I would also say definitely finding that mentor, especially at co-op and during co-op, who's teaching you to be a good scientist. And I know that there are some labs that have horrible, horrible mentors. And then there are labs like mine specifically who have amazing people in there and amazing mentors who actually genuinely care about you learning and doing what you want to do rather than, oh, you should do science. Like, do science, rather than like, okay, if you don't want to do science, then like these are other options in the lab that you could do. Or you don't have to work in a lab. Like, just making those connections, finding those people who genuinely care about you learning is very important. And if you do really like research and you actually get stuck with a terrible lab, just switch labs. Like, during your next co-op, if you know research is what you want to do, don't let that one lab ruin your experience.
Love that. That's really good advice. I especially like the part about if you don't get a good vibe from the lab, get out.
Yeah. And you can say no. You don't have to accept their offer, too.
That is very true. That is 100% true. I love this. You guys are going to take my job away from me. Because Angie?
So my big thing is to try to find research you can do in school. So there's so many professors that have so many projects, and you could honestly find something to do in any area. There's genetics, I know, but there's also chemistry research. There's Joe does so much. Like, he's all over the place. So you could do things with him. If you have a professor that you just gel with, ask them if they're doing research, because they probably are, and you can join them. You don't have to do it for credit either. I thought you had to do it for credit. I learned that you don't, and that's very helpful. Also, I think finding a mentor is really important, and I remember my freshman year, I heard that so often, and I was so confused about what that meant. And it will happen naturally. If you do stuff you like, if you're involved in your classes, if you're involved in like extracurriculars, it happens naturally. Dr. Rogers was my mentor before I understood what mentorship was. And that's just, they want to help you, your professors want to help you. If they see someone that is motivated, has the same types of interests as they do, they scoop you up and they help you out. So, or again, upperclassmen through clubs. I'm involved in many clubs and I met a lot of upperclassmen. I met Kelsey through that. So you'll find your niche, you'll find what you're good at, just follow your interests, and then the mentor comes out of those interests.
I definitely agree about pursuing research here, because without Dr. Rogers, I would have never even considered research, never knew what it was, and she really saw that interest and passion I had for it and completely took me under her wing, taught me everything that I could have known, and brought me out to a conference in San Diego. And so all of the professors here that are interested in research are really just incredible minds, and they inspire you to do those things. So I don't think that you need to go out and get something in a lab, like Lindsay said, where you'll be unhappy just because it seems like it's the place that you should be.
And there's also so many different types of research too. Like there's genetics, there's, you can work with any type of technology doing research on something. Like there's always a different type of science that you could be doing. So just because you don't like genetics or just because you don't want to work with zebrafish, like you don't have to. Like,
yeah, I work with microfluidic devices and mice.
Right.
Yeah.
Completely, you would never think those two things go together, but
apparently they do.
Apparently they do.
I don't like working with mice, which is why I like cell culturing. So they're really, you will find, like, honestly, I hate the mice work. Wait, I do it, but I don't
mice,
like it.
Zebrafish, cells.
Yeah.
Love that.
I know.
That's your first panel.
I also do mice, too, and I really don't enjoy it.
Aww.
But it's part of research. It's an important skill to know.
Yeah.
So I know it. Do not enjoy it. But
and flies.
And flies.
Flies. Woo.
Yeah. And now E. coli. But there's... that's just another avenue to explore too. If you do research and you find you hate it because of the organism you're working with, there's so many model organisms, go find another one, try that.
The other thing too is I made a really good, great friend during my first round of co-op, the Northeastern co-op I talked about earlier, and she actually had gone back to her very first lab that she worked in that worked with mice, and I actually got a chance to go with her into her surgery room when she was doing a surgery, and I just watched the whole thing on a mouse, which I had never done before. I had never seen. I didn't touch the mice because I wasn't on her protocol, but but I had only worked with fish and I had only seen fish, so just also making those connections within your own co-op can really help even expand your horizons.
This is such fabulous advice. I love it. Okay, I have run out of questions. I haven't run out of, I could ask you a million questions, but like, we're running out of time.
throw
them down. Okay, so I'm hearing a lot of talk about mentors being super important, and I'm just wondering if you all want to give a shout out to anybody on this radio show and tell them how awesome they are right now.
Ooh, well, I'll say their names for the 5,000th time in the past 45 minutes. Definitely thank you to Dr. Rogers for initially inspiring me. I mean, I never would have been here without her. Thanks to Joe for all of our crazy meetings and literally finding me both of my co-ops. I mean, he has been instrumental in my college experience. And to Lori Grove, because she's been awesome along the way and she's incredible. So those are my thanks.
Love it.
Love Lori. And Joe and the whole biomed department and co-ops and Lauren.
Yeah.
And definitely my Padari lab. They're the true team.
Yep. Oh, hello. So, again, Dr. Rogers, Joe, Dr. Grove, but also the whole chem department. I think Sir Ackman has been really helpful to me. He's I remember he introduced me once to somebody, and he was like, this is a promising student we have. And I was like, I'm a promising student. And again, that level of, telling someone that they're good at what they do is just so encouraging. And I never forgot that. So little things like that that they probably forgot they did, but really mattered to me. There's been endless moments like that. I genuinely feel like so many professors, so many faculty members on this campus just want you to succeed, and they are willing to help you do that. So they've all been great.
I think they also don't really know how much they actually truly believe in us until you're either with them in like a certain situation and they're like, oh, this student's amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
I also definitely feel like I'm forgetting people too. So like, it's hard because I've been so supported this like 3-year path that it's hard to list everybody.
Well, I also want to say thanks to you, Lauren, because for sure. I never, like, as I said, I didn't utilize the office as much as I wish I had. And every time I go in there, you're still just as incredible as if I had been in your office every single day. And you're always willing to help, even though I'm not a student that's constantly at your door. So I think that's really nice to know that you're there regardless.
Thank you.
Any
biomeds could do what we do
without
Lauren.
Aww. What? You're making me cry on the radio.
Also, I am at your door every day.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Whether it's once in a blue moon or literally every day.
I am here for all of you biomeds and biologicals now.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you all for being on the show today. This has been one of my favorite shows of all time, and I've been doing this for like 4 years. So, yeah.
This is great.
It's really inspiring to see the kind of work that you do, and I know that you mostly come to my office to get told what to do about a particular thing, like to get some guidance and stuff. But part of the reason I love my job so much is because of all of you. You all have fabulous experiences, and you're off changing the world, and it's really cool to be a small part in that. So I appreciate you so much for coming in and sharing your experience. I'm totally gonna send this show to like any biomed who ever wants to do research. So I hope you knew that's what you were getting into. But yeah, that's all. Thank you all so much.
This was fabulous. I feel awesome about the future of your industry, knowing the three of you are out there working real hard. It's amazing to listen to you. Is there anything we need to announce coming up? I don't think there are any events.
No summer events. Rising seniors, get it together and come see your co-op advisors, because this search is not easier than your other co-op searches, so.
And then just a couple of things outside of research co-ops and that sort of thing. This week, very timely to this episode airing, is on Thursday is Tech Jam. So if you want to go network with some tech employers, hit up Tech Jam, which is happening in Boston City Hall Plaza. You'll see two of our other co-op and career advisors there, Sarah Dell and Rhea Kalinowski.
What day is that on?
Thursday. And it's definitely, sorry.
I think it starts at 4.
I was going to say, it's an afternoon thing. I don't have the exact start, but it's definitely like an after classes sort of situation. It's a super fun thing. It's really casual, low key.
Isn't it just like a big old networking event? People just like hang out
It's like a big party networking event too. Like you don't have to don't dress up, you know, wear your t-shirts and your jeans and go get ready to like play games with employers.
Let's see. It sounds like you should maybe go to Tech Jam.
I was actually gonna.
Yeah.
So
it's great.
4 to 9 p.m.
She literally knows what it is. I love that.
Perfect. And other than that, during the summer semester, we have drop-ins from 2 to 4 on Wednesdays and Thursdays while classes are in session. You can catch us on Twitter, at Wit Co-ops and Careers. Same on Instagram.
Follow us.
I will be following along on Tech Jam. So if you are there and you tweet, I might retweet you. If you tag us, especially if you tag us, I will retweet you. That's all I've got for everybody.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for joining another fabulous episode of WitWorks Radio.